properties on water flow variability at the plant scale.
Yes, thank you very much, Ole. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, Mathieu Javot is not able to attend this meeting, and he kindly asked me if I would give the presentation. I said yes, but as last author on the list, I'm probably the least qualified to do so. So I will try to do my best and also to answer your questions. Okay. So what I will be presenting here today are some, well, no real data. It are simulated data using a numerical model. And it has to do with woodwater uptake. And you know, all of you, you have seen the former presentations, that it is a result of a balance between climatic demand, plant regulation, and the soil hydraulic status. And the question we want to answer is, what are the relative impact of the root architecture and soil and root properties on water uptake by roots? And for this, we have been developing in the last years a three-dimensional numerical soil and root water flow model based on the basically the Richards equation. So we simulated 3D water fluxes in the soil, and we are simulating also the flow of water in the root system. And we have integrated that in one numerical model. There is a 3D description of the root architecture. And for the moment, we are only considering the below path, so we are assuming some kind of a boundary condition at the color, either it's a Neumann or it's a flex boundary condition. And typically, the root properties, they are characterized by radial and xylem conductivity values, so KR and KX. And what we have done here in this study, we have analyzed different scenarios, one to investigate the effect of hydraulic parameterization, and the second one to study the effect of root architecture, not really the plant architecture, but the root below the in the subsurface. Now, if we are looking to water flow in and across roots, we basically have two things we have to deal with. That is the water flow across the root, which is typically a kind of a Darcy approach we use, where we have driving gradients between the, let's say, the potential we have in the root and the potential we have in the soil. And the second one is the water flow to the xylem, which is also typically a kind of Darcy equation we have, where we have a gradient in the xylem potential, and it's proportional then to the flux, the water flux in the xylem, with a proportionality constant K of X. So how do we model this water flow in the root system? Basically, what we have is we discretize the three-dimensional root system as an assembly of nodes. And on the top, we have the color. We define it, as I said, at the top, the boundary conditions. And then we have the fluxes in the xylem, J of X, between the different nodes of the root. And then, of course, we have the exchange between the radial flux between the soil and the root system. And we have integrated this in a three-dimensional model. So the soil model is, or the water flow in soil is described using the three-dimensional Richards equation. We use hexaeders, which are then afterwards subdivided in tetraeders. And within that, we assign the root nodes in each of these tetraeders, and then we do some kind of an analytical interpolation to get also the correct values of hydraulic conductivity near to the root. So basically, in this model, we don't have the classical sink term of root water uptake. So it's not kind of an empirical approach there. We do not use the Fedders equation. We calculate really the sink from mechanistic principles. That's the main difference to many of the root water uptake models that are presently being used. There is no empiricity in this approach. And so what we can do with it is just an example. What you show here, what is shown on this side here, are the water potentials for different conditions. You can also calculate the water content. And what the interesting part is, you basically calculate also the sink term. So you can see where the water is being taken up in the plants. And we will see later on that it is not necessarily proportional to the root length density. And this is typically an assumption that is made in most of these empirical models is that root water uptake is proportional to root length density. I will show you that this is not the case. And it depends on the properties of the soil, but also, and less on the root architecture. So, first scenario, the effects of plant soil hydraulic properties. What we assumed is a uniform and constant hydraulic parameters for soil and roots, so we didn't go into the heterogeneous part. We have a day-night color boundary condition, so we just switch depending on the condition of the day. And we have different root parameterizations. We distinguish between small, medium, and high radial conductivity, and notice that this should be K of R, so there is just for your information, combined with small, medium, and high xylene conductivities, K of X. And then we will be looking at two ratios, K of R versus to K of X, and K of R versus KS, where KS is the conductivity of the soil. And so what you see is that for a given radial conductance, K of R, when you increase the xylem conductivity, then this allows an uptake by the complete root system, proportional to the root length density. This is this case. So if the K of X is increasing, then this ratio becomes small, and then the root water uptake is proportional to the root length density. On the other way, if you increase this ratio by making, decreasing K of X, then you will see that this is not proportional to the root length density. So, and then it really depends, let's say, on this relationship between radial conductivity and xylem conductivity, how your roots are taking up the water. One can also plot the radial versus the soil conductivity. And again, if you have a low KRKS ratio, then again, the root length density controls water uptake. On the other hand, if this ratio KR to KS is high, then the water uptake profile is not controlled by root length density. The second thing we were looking in or interested in is the effect of root architecture. And basically what we have done is we have generated two types of root systems, one for Italian ryegrass and one for maize, using the program root type developed by Pagès in France. And what we've done is we generated a small ensemble of five replicates, for each plant type with a similar root length density. So a different structure, but the root length density being the same. And then using the same soil hydraulic properties, boundary initial conditions, and as I said, the root boundary condition at the color, we assumed a constant color flux. That means that we have the same uptake for all plants. And then, of course, uniform and constant root hydraulic properties. And we looked at two scenarios, a standard root parameterization and the root KR and KX enlarged by a factor of 100. And just to see how these root architectures look like, so here is the lateral view. Here you have the maize and the ryegrass. And again, here the upper view for maize and ryegrass. And just notice the structure. It will come back in later slides. So what you see here are then the root length densities for the five replicates of the maize and the ryegrass. So now what is the effect of the root hydraulic parameterization? And here you see the colors. So the maize blue is the low root conductivity. Ryegrass in red is low root. And then here these two colors, maize is the high root and kind of purple ryegrass is the high root conductivity. And now what comes out of it is that for low conductivity scenarios, we only have slight differences between the plants close to surface, and that is even more visible in the sink terms than it is in the moisture content profile. So you see the sink term, you see the moisture content profile, and you see the differences here close to the surface is more expressed in the sink term than it is in the water contact. And the effect of root architecture disappears when root is not the limiting water flux. And water extraction is no longer a function of the root length density. Now we can also look at the xylene water potential in the root color, and please take the absolute values of the pressure head when comparing these figures. And then here are again the different roots. Here's the ryegrass, here's the maize. And for the more uniform root distribution for ryegrass, it generates lower water potentials in absolute value in the root xylem. And when the soil becomes limiting, the xylem water potential decreases in absolute values. Notice also that there is hardly, you see the differences here in the replicates, there are hardly differences in these replicates. Now I come to the conclusion. So root architecture and root and soil hydraulic properties affect the root water uptake. If we have this high KR-KS ratio, then it's the soil that controls the root water uptake profile. If we have a low KR-KX, then the root water uptake is controlled by the root length density. Replicates of root architecture from the same plant have negligible effects on the water uptake of the roots. And the impact of root architecture on the root water uptake profile disappears if the root is not limiting. So let me also say what we are going to do in the future. We will look at some more realistic scenarios, because you can have radial conductivity, what we assume now that this is constant, but that might also be a function of the root type and the age. And the stress function of root water potential is typically also regulated by EBA, and we are going to look in some ways on how that we can model, let's say, that the plant knows that there is stress. And one way would be to look at the temperature profiles above ground and see whether that can be linked to root water uptake. And then the interest is, of course, not to do it only for one plant, but then to go to a set of different multiple plants to see what is the interaction between the plants. With this, I would like to thank you, and hopefully I can answer some questions. We need this direct continuity between the root and the soil. Whether this is in reality the case, that is something different, because typically you have this EPL layer around the root system, which might also induce and enhance, let's say, flow to the root system. So this is something which is not being accounted for. And that might also, basically what you do is you integrate everything, you lump it into this radial conductivity. Yes, I agree. I'll take the question. That is given by the metric potential in the soil. Yes. Is the root color, so you can define it as you want. You can give the
What's the boundary condition as a source of phase with water application? Is covering surface of water or a point source as a surface?
You mean for the soil? Or for the soil. Well, you can define as you like. I mean, the boundary conditions in this case for the Richards type equation, you can define it as you like. You can have a variable boundary condition, you can have pressure head based boundary condition, you can have a flux boundary condition, you can have natural boundary conditions, rainfall, intermittent rainfall. So,
and this is steady state.
No. The model is transient, it's not steady state. So you basically solve the full transient Richards equation.
To relate your ABE production to temperature, because it is shown in some papers that depending on the maximum pre drying, then ABE starts, and it has nothing to do with temperature.
Well, the idea was basically you're dealing with signaling, and you have to come up with some kind of a surrogate if you want to include this signaling effect into the modeling. And this is something we are thinking about. It's not perhaps the way we're going to do it, but the way is how can we find a connection between the root water uptake and information we are having that tells us that stress is occurring. And we are not going to model the transport of EBA through the whole plant root system. This is not what we're going to do. So it will be kind of an empirical link. But it's better what this it's anyway, it will be better than that what's on the market nowadays.
Are there any other questions? Do you have plans already in mind how you might validate your simulations by experiments, so maybe some 3D scanning?
Yeah. Well, we are in Jülich. We are also working on magnetic resonance imaging of soil moisture in three dimensions using the with roots, real roots, and plants. And then the idea is, of course, to combine that. And then you see also this interesting phenomena between the root and the soil, and that will be, of course, a challenge to integrate that in the model. Definitely. Just want to tell you, the model is also available. So if people want to use it, they are kindly invited to ask the first author, and I think he will be happy to do so.
Well, thank you very much again. Thank you. Before we adjourn this meeting, I have four announcements. I'd like to ask you one more minute. So the first one is that the co-conveners, Dr. Robert Schwartz, Tim Green, Robert Lascaux, and myself would like to thank all of the speakers for keeping the time very nice in their specific slots, and like to thank also the audience for very good discussions. The second thing, we would also like to announce that this symposium goes on with a series of interesting posters. They are in the numbers 1001 to 1023 downstairs in the exhibition hall. Please visit those posters. The authors will be present from now 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. The third thing I'd like to announce is that for those who are members of the Valo Zone Journal editorial board, the associate editor meeting, Valo Zone Journal board meeting is at 4 o'clock in room number 312, so that's the room next door. And all of you, So it's one store below, one level below, and then the room next door. Yeah, don't try to dig down, use the stairway. In room number 407, that's the room at that end that had so far all the S1 sessions at 5 o'clock, there's the S1, the soil physics business meeting. So all of you are invited to join that, so please be there. And thank you again for attending the symposium.